The American Hospital in Paris, Yesteryear, Part 2. On the health staff some years ago at the American Hospital of Paris, the American interns watched with wonderment as the great, the near great, and the notorious recovered and departed hospital with their entourages, or suffered and expired amidst their large and demonstrative families. My sleep was interrupted one Sunday morning by a sharp call from the chief nurse to run, not walk, vite, vite, docteur, to the emergency room to attend the Aga Khan. On arriving, I found his wife, Rita Hayworth, insistently vocalizing a long series of annoyances. The Aga Khan himself was writhing in pain, with a compound fracture of the tibia, having been transported in a crude temporary cast halfway across France from a ski resort. The rest of that long Sunday was a battle against bone and cloth fragments, an unending muscle spasm under the hugely intimidating presence of the famous Lady in Red. The six American interns, by the end of our first Paris winter, were a bit jaded by the excesses of Paris. We had long since decided that the bottle of Saint-Emilion placed before each of our plates at the hospital lunch might better be milk or mineral water. But actually, we were more worn down by the necessity to carry out medical orders with which we often did not agree, in an atmosphere where a discussion with the awesome grand patron of France was usually out of the question. While on the one hand we were charmed and awed by their clinical brilliance, on the other we were frequently horrified by their inability to consider alternative diagnoses or therapies, to acknowledge error, or to correct obvious mistakes. For example, one lovely young American woman had cycled through France, fighting a nagging cystitis for days, and finally arrived at the American hospital with a roaring fever. We were soon able to identify a penicillin-sensitive streptococcus, but found we were not allowed to prescribe penicillin, simply because the grand old gynecological consultant in that modern day of 1950 didn't believe in penicillin. We interns alternated the risky job of administering her penicillin in the dead of night. There was the case of another young American cyclist practicing for the Tour de France who had experienced a nasty fracture of the humerus in a downhill spill. His fracture required open reduction, after which an upper body cast was applied. The jagged afternoon spikes of fever turned by the third day into soaring peaks, and by the fourth to profound sepsis with delirium. Again, the distinguished senior consultant, the most noted of orthopods, insisted on ever more tests for fevers of unknown origin, including, as I recall, the relatively new white owl test for typhoid fever. Every attempt had to be made to establish a source of infection other than the obvious one.